I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Julie Ducharme. Julie started her career in college and professional sports. She is a speaker, a consultant, and an author on leadership, business, and marketing. Julie is the CEO of JD Consulting, LLC, the CEO of Julie's Party People, and the president of Synergy Learning Institute. Julie is also a professor, doctorate chair, and mentor for the DBA program at Walden University. Julie, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on.
Thank you, David.
You have a really interesting background. I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about your story and also why it has led you to do what you're doing today.
Sure, absolutely. I think it started very young on. I grew up with two grandfathers and a father who owned their own businesses and were self-employed, and I was always around them. And so I got an opportunity to really see how they run their businesses, and they very much worked quality businesses with a handshake, and I learned a lot of things like bartering, trading services, and so I was immersed in that from early on. And early on in high school, I even had started a volleyball and basketball were my sports I played, and so I had my dad put a volleyball court up, and I started charging for lessons and training young kids on how to play sports. So I didn't realize it, but I kind of started my business skills early on. I went into college with the idea that I was going to play professional sports, and so I got a degree in communication. I felt it was a good degree that would just kind of cover a lot of areas, and went on and played and did play for a while professionally. And while I was playing, my father kept saying to me, keep getting your degrees. One injury can take you out, and you'll have to change directions. So I did. I went and got an MBA. I came back and I started teaching and coaching, which I had never planned to be a teacher. Everyone in my family is a teacher, and I said I would never teach. Turned out I was pretty good at it. So I started teaching at the college level. And I really loved business. I had a taste for it. So when I got my master's, I started Julie's Party People as my project. And created a business plan. I saw another company that was doing this really poorly, and I thought I could do that better, and created the plan, and that was basically my master thesis, and then started the company with a thought that maybe I'd do a couple events a month. My first month starting the company, we had 20 events, and I realized quickly that this was something I had to take a little more seriously and jump in, and it suddenly became this full business that I hadn't expected, and that was about 13 years ago. As I continued to work and teach and as well run my businesses, they kept telling me they wanted me to get a doctorate. And so I went on and got my doctorate. And while I was doing that, I started consulting. And once again, started a small little consulting company thinking I would do a few small things here and there. And that was about 11 years ago. And the company is now a full large LLC company that works nationally and internationally across a lot of different venues of business. And today it's growing and bursting at the seams, and we're excited about it. And in the midst of all of that, if I didn't have enough to do, working in academia and business, and especially in San Diego, we have a very big military population. And I had several colleagues come to me talk about how can we help our military vets that are going back into the business world, that are transitioning back. And so we started thinking about what we could do, and that's how Synergy Learning Institute was born. It's a nonprofit technical vocational college that offers, one of the programs is educational courses for vets returning back to the workforce. The classes are created by vets and taught by vets to help give them an extra edge on successfully transitioning. So that is my in just 2 years old. It's very much a baby school, but it kind of took both of the worlds. I worked in the academic and the business and was able to create that. So I never in my wildest dreams thought I would move in this direction by any means. I thought I would be playing volleyball forever, But I love business, and I love academia. And so those worlds pulled together kind of this new world for me. And that's kind of the short version of how I got here and got immersed in that. And I do still play volleyball. I do still coach a high school team and play on the side for fun because it's a great little stress reliever. But I'm very much immersed in my businesses right now.
That's interesting. So you mentioned that your father advised you to get degrees because one injury can take you out and you'd have to shift what you were doing. But it doesn't sound like the shift happened because of something precipitous like an injury.
Yeah, it didn't. I was a very lucky athlete. I had very minimal injuries, and I've been very, very healthy. Actually, the only thing I'm running into is I'll be having a knee surgery pretty soon because of the wear and tear. I played for about 20 plus years sports. I retired when I was around 30, so I had a very long run of playing consistently, you know, 5-6 hours a day. So with that exception, but my father is a very wise man, and he gave me a lot of great business advice, school advice, that I'm really glad that I listened to. He was able to kind of see how our future was unfolding in business and in academics. And I'm a very much type A driven person, and I'm very competitive. And so I think that also adds to kind of my businesses and what I do.
Interesting. What have been some of the big challenges that you've come up against in the various business activities and maybe in sports too?
Some of the challenges, you know, sports is always just probably when you first come in, you're young, you're talented, but you have a lot of competition. So I did well in college, and then you switch over to the pro circuit, and everyone is as good, if not better. So That was probably a challenge, is being able to stay competitive in a very competitive environment and to stay healthy and in shape. Thankfully, that went really well for me. I was very blessed in that. In the business side, when I was young, obviously, I think the experience hindered me a bit. But what I did was just I researched, I talked to people who were successful in business. And, you know, I'm a very calculated risk taker. And that did slow me down a bit, because there were some things that I probably should have taken advantage of that I was nervous about doing. I took most of the money I made and reinvested in the business to keep myself out of debt. Later down the road, I took those calculated risks that I probably should have taken 3, 4, 5 years ago. And now, the last 3 years, my businesses are bursting at the scene and exploding in growth. And I look back and think, I wish I would have bought that or taken that step or made that move. But because I'm very calculated in that, I believe that was probably one of my challenges that early on slowed me down.
Do you want to give an example?
Sure, absolutely. In Julie's Party People, I saw that I really needed to buy some equipment for my company. I really needed to expand, and it was there, and I knew I needed to do it, but I kept getting hindered at the thought of spending the amount of money. Several years later, I bought the equipment I needed, and that year I went and profited an additional $20,000 by incorporating in the equipment I needed. And then from there, I realized I needed more equipment. So I made the investment, and that took the company from a 20,000 a year company up to a 60,000 a year company in a year. So just the purchasing of equipment, which I knew I needed, but I was nervous about getting in some debt, turned my business around in a year. So in the JD Consulting side, where I do a lot of consulting, I was a little nervous to take on large projects from the government or big companies. I turned them down, and you know, and I realized that if I just brought on a few other consultants, I could take that on. So I brought in more consultants, and I expanded the business and the specialties. And same thing, I took it from a very small amount of money to a large amount of money over a year, year and a half time. And now I can't get enough consultants. I have so much work. So being a calculated risk taker can sometimes benefit you. But in my case, it definitely slowed down my businesses.
Yeah, because you need to be able to take advantage of either equipment or human resources or some other form of capital to leverage the success you've already created. But sometimes it's scary to do that because you don't know what might happen and what could go wrong.
Absolutely. And I grew up with, my grandparents and my father who ran their businesses. They never had any debt, and they were very, very cautious. And that was good in one sense, but in another sense, if they had taken a little bit of risk, they definitely could have expanded their businesses much, much larger. My grandfather, who only both my grandfathers only had a sixth grade education, but and then the depression hit. And they were in the military, but they both had skills. And they came back and changed those skills into businesses. But a good example, my grandfather, who took over farming, never wanted to switch to automated sprinklers. It sounds trivial, but automated sprinklers would have cut down the amount of time that was spent working, could have cut down the cost to pay workers, and could have streamlined the process completely. But until he passed away when he was 92 years old, he demanded to have sprinklers that had to be pulled throughout the grove. Once he passed on, we put in the automated sprinklers and life was easy. So it was things like that that technology for a lot of my clients have been a very big challenge. And I've embraced technology. And by embracing it and having the most updated technology and being educated in it is what is getting me a lot of clients because they need that skill.
Either, Julie, either for yourself or for people you advise in your consulting business, what are some of the characteristics you see when someone's been successful and gets to a certain point and then keeps getting stuck, hits a plateau, and maybe tries to move forward by taking a calculated risk like buying equipment or hiring new people, and things don't work out so well? In spite of the fact that there may be a great market for what it is they produce and sell, they can't seem to get beyond a certain level.
Yeah, I actually have a client that is in that exact situation. They decided to franchise out many years ago, a fantastic business, and she was doing very well in the local community. But she didn't know how to properly market it and get herself out there. And that's what really hindered the business. And now, about 10 years later, they're getting rid of the franchising and just going back to the local market. But what hindered her was understanding her market, understanding the technology she needed to make it work, and understanding how to market it. And that's why they came to us. She also had a struggle of capital, trying to get investors. But because she was not willing to learn the technology and get herself immersed in the market, I explained to her, you're the one that has to tell people about this. You're the one that has to sell it. If you, the owner, can't go out there and market this and sell it and show everyone what a fantastic idea it is, it's not going to sell. And so they definitely hit that challenge. And so they hit marketing challenges, investor challenges. So in the long run, it was smarter to drop the franchise because the cost was exorbitant and go back to local. Locally, they were very successful and they built a product. So, one of the most important things I see my clients do is they don't always understand their market and they don't understand how to market to them. And so that's a key thing that I come in and do with a lot of them. I analyze the market, who they are, and how we can get the information back out to them. A lot of people are stuck on traditional marketing, and I have to open their eyes up to things like social media. And I find my 50 plus and up clients really struggle with that idea. So, overcoming and being able to create sustainability and keep your business alive in this economy, you really have to be into the technology. You have to open your eyes to a global economy, not just a local economy. And once again, you have to be willing to take the risk and spend a little bit of money to make money. I grew up in a family where they didn't want to spend any money. They always thought the depression was coming back. And so, I always have to tell my clients, you're going to have to spend a little money to make a little money, but what you spend is going to come back to you threefold. So, I have a client who really, what you just described, has hit. And, they came to me pretty late in the process. So we're doing cleanup. But, we hope to get her business back out there and back moving. But you've got to be able to understand your market and the technology. And because she didn't understand the technology side, that extremely hurt her in trying to market her business.
Are there some tips you can offer that will help listeners learn how to better understand their market?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many things out there, lots and lots of webinars, training, free classes on everything of how to, social media is a really big one right now. Businesses can really do well on social media utilizing Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and a lot of clients avoid it or they just don't understand it. And taking a few classes on that is going to help educate you. I mean, I have clients that pay me to social media for them, to Facebook for them, because they either don't understand or don't want to deal with it. But doing a little research, learning is really important. You know, I always say as business leaders, we have to be lifelong learners. We have to continue to learn and understand our market. We have to understand what is the most up-to-date thing that's happening. So, you know, not being afraid to do a webinar, do some research. Maybe you take an updated class on something. That is really key to understand that. Of course, you have the internet. So, I mean, you can Google something and get a ton of information on it compared to, you know, 10, 15 years ago where we really had to go look up a book or go find someone who was working in the industry. But I also encourage you to find someone who's working in the industry similar to yours and see what they're doing. Go observe them. Find out what it is. And networking is huge. It's all about who you know today. I created some really strategic partnerships with businesses that needed me to help their clients with areas that they didn't do, and vice versa. So I did one partnership which brought in 20 clients in 1 year, which is huge. And they would service the clients and then send them on over to me so I could take care of their media needs. So partnerships are key. Getting to know someone in the industry that needs you is really, really important. And I blew off networking for a long time. I was a busy person and I didn't think networking was very important. And I realized it's actually key to a business.
For somebody who doesn't do a lot of networking or maybe where networking isn't so effective, what suggestions do you have to get started or to make it more effective?
Something I did was I joined the local chamber in my city, and I wanted the local leaders to know who I was and what I was doing. And I started getting involved. I also created the partnerships, as I mentioned, and I just started getting really involved where I was at. Now, I do work nationally and internationally, which means I can't be at all networking events and across the country at all times, but I started creating webinars, Skype meetings, any way that I could connect with people, I found. And as you know, far apart as we may be from someone, for example, I have some people in Africa who are clients. We connect via Skype, email, and they do networking for me out there. So what I did as well was I found people who wanted to be part of the business or wanted to trade a service with me, and I got them to network for me as well. So now it wasn't just me, but I had multiple people out there pushing my business, pushing our name, and getting out to people. And I traded some services, so I didn't have to spend a ton of money out paying someone to go. And that made a big difference when you start having more and more people out there networking for you.
Interesting. And talk to me a little bit about strategic partnerships. How do you decide when a strategic partnership might be helpful? And once you do decide, how do you go about finding someone who can be a great strategic partner?
That's a really good question, and that's taken me a little bit of time to figure out, because I'm really picky about who I partner with and who I use. I have a really high level of quality, and I have a difficult time. Probably this is one of my weaknesses as a leader, is delegating work, because I want it done a certain way and I worry that people are not going to do it correctly. And so I realized that I had to delegate work. I couldn't do it all, and I needed some partners out there, because as a consulting company, you're one of a million people out there consulting. So, you know, why am I better than someone else? Okay, I have a doctorate degree. Well, that still doesn't mean much if you, you know, don't have a way to promote yourself. So one company in particular, Digital Chalk, they were creating an online learning system and an LMS, as we call it. And I was looking for an LMS. So after I went through everything, I thought they were a pretty fantastic company. I just called up the CEO and I talked to him and I said, "Hey, I like what you guys are doing. You're a new startup company. Let's talk. How can we benefit each other? And that's how we came up with the partnership. And I've spent a lot of time speaking with the CEO and the company and making sure. And because we have such a fantastic relationship, they're always willing to help with anything that we need. And the same with them, because their clients can't get online until they get help from us. If we leave the clients to do it on their own, the company is not going to make any money. So that's one partnership that really came in and created really well. And basically, you need to go out, if you're looking for a partnership, find someone in the industry that does something that your clients need that you do not do. Look them up, see what their track record is, find out some references, and then you have to take the bold move of calling. And that's what you have to do, is find those people that you can forward your clients to, because your clients are going to say, do you know of someone who can help me with this? And you want to have a nice list. But with partnerships, I really encourage you, if you're looking them up, you know, get some references, talk to clients, and make sure these are quality people that you're working with, because one bad partnership can destroy a lot of customer relationships for you.
Have you had some bad experiences with strategic partnerships?
Yes, I have. Many years ago, when I was a little younger and still a little inexperienced in those areas, I made a partnership with someone who seemed really great. I didn't really research them. You know, they were very convincing, very dynamic, and I thought, this is fantastic. And he ran off with a large amount of money that was supposed to go towards my company. And later, I Googled him, found out, you know, lots of posts about this guy who was running off with people's money. And I felt a bit just like a chump. And then I realized from that point on that I really needed to research my people and find out about them. And today, what's really nice is we have Yelp, we have the internet, we have people posting things, and you can find a track record pretty quick. But I just kind of took him at his word, which is something that my father and grandfathers used to do back in the day. They did a handshake and went on. Now I am fully, I have contracts and so forth that kind of make everything very, you know, closed and shut. So that way we have a lot of protection. But yes, I just kind of thought the person was dynamic and fantastic and everything they said sounded good. And I said, great, let's go with it. And then that's what happened. I also, a couple years back, got a call to do a commercial for a promo that was going on. It sounded great. Same thing again. We did the commercial. They said it was going to air. It never aired. And they kept saying that it was going to air, and it never aired. And so I had to, unfortunately, get in a bit of a legal battle to get our money back and so forth, and ended up on that. And this company actually did have really good reviews, but they just turned out to be not someone that, you know, conducted quality work. So I have had some of those happen to me.
Yeah, I think that's unfortunately a pretty common occurrence. It's part of how we learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Julie, what questions do you wish you had answered when you hit a plateau?
Gosh, you know, capital was always a big one. How do I get capital? You know, where do I go? What's the safest place? Should I go with an investor? You know, what if I can't pay it back? You know, many, many years ago, capital was much easier to get than it is today. Today, it's very difficult as a small business to get capital due to the economy and people not paying back their loans. And then what you think about is investors. What type of investors do you really want to get? Because once you get an investor, they now have their hands in your business. And how much do they control of it? So, you know, those were some questions I know and were... I just didn't know, you know, and once I did my research, you know, then I was able to find out. I've consistently used, you know, good capital where I get a business loan and then I buy something and then I pay it off right away, you know, with the money that's made from that investment. But some people do get into some really bad loans and, you know, restaurant businesses are a perfect example. They don't usually last more than 5 years. They spend an exorbitant amount on capital and then usually end up going much more into debt than they should and they get stuck and then they're trying to dig their way out. So, having a really good plan and understanding what's good capital and what is not, I think is really important.
Yeah, that's important. What are some of the influencers that have been helpful for you in your own career and your own business, particularly at times when you have hit a plateau?
You know, that's good. I really, what I did about midway through, you know, about probably five or six years ago, is I went and I found some business mentors who had run successful businesses. Kat Barclay is her name, and she's been a successful consultant for 20 plus years. She also ended up being my dissertation mentor, and she was fantastic in both. And I can consistently call her when I'm questioning something and get some good feedback from her, because she's usually ran into the problem before. And so if you can find a mentor that has been doing this for a long time that you can bounce stuff off of, I find it really important. Also, Frieda Turner, who is the dean at Walden University, is fantastic. She as well was... She spent, I believe, 20 plus years in the military. She's a leadership consultant as well. She's worked in academia. She's had experience across the board. So she was definitely an influencer and mentor in my life as well, and still is today.
Do you have any tips on how to find good mentors?
You know, you've got to immerse yourself in the industry and search for those people. I mean, I also, you know, until recently, last couple of years, had my grandfathers before they passed away, who actually had some great business sense. And my father, of course, is still, actually, he retired and is doing some business with me as well. But I had to go into the industry and see who was out there and who was surviving and doing it well. So, you know, once again, going to some networking events and immersing yourself in the local community is important. There's a lot of fantastic business people out there, and sometimes they don't have to have the exact same service industry or products that you're working on or selling, but they know what business is and they know what good business is. Because when it all comes down to it, we're all invoicing, we're all marketing, we're all dealing with cash in and cash out, we're dealing with capital. So when it comes to those things, you don't have to be in the exact same business to get advice. So, you know, look at the industry and who are the successful people in the industry, and don't be afraid to call them.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
I've got a lot of great things going on right now. The Julia's Party People business is, I went back and forth about what I wanted to do with that. We decided to expand it. So we're going to be expanding it probably in California here. It's a very simple business idea. It's a kids entertainment business that sends out jumps and tables and chairs and characters and lots of fun stuff. It's very simple. It very much runs itself. And I recently changed my marketing, which caused this to explode even more. So we have, right now we're working on licensing it. On the JD Consulting side, I've taken my academia and my business and merged them together. And we are very much immersed right now in creating really interactive training courses for people who are in need of those courses. So everything from, you know, we have our own LMS that we got from Digital Chalk. And so we are doing animated characters. I've got guys who used to work for Pixar and Disney coming in. They're fantastic. They worked on movies like Nemo, The Nightmare Before Christmas. So talk about super creative. They're in here creating animated characters. We've got some great technology going on. So we're just immersed in creating some really awesome interactive classes, and it's fun. It's actually fun because we've got, like I said, some really creative guys in here. And then Synergy is a work in progress. Anytime you're creating an actual school, there's a lot of dimensions you have to go through. But we did graduate our first five veterans from an automotive program that we have in Bakersfield, California.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we were super excited. We even had one Vietnam vet in the group, and then we had a couple of younger guys, and they have all graduated and gone on to get jobs, various jobs in the automotive industry, and we're really excited about it. And we actually got grant money to fund it, so they were able to fully do the program for free. But we're growing many different programs. And satellite, we're based here, but we've got a satellite campus in Bakersfield, and we're expanding out to other areas. So I've got a whole separate crew working on that right now, and they're all volunteers, which are fantastic. And, you know, that were in the military or had family in the military, and they want to jump in, and they're creating classes and teaching them and coaching, and it's a lot of fun. So I have kind of three different worlds revolving around me, but I love it. It's a great, you know, a great area to switch from place to place. So those are kind of the three main areas right now that are keeping me busy.
I see what you mean about working hard.
Yeah. I you know, when I took all this on, you know, you say yes to something and it's small and you're thinking, oh, it's going to take a while before this grows and gets big. And I've been blessed and fortunate enough that these things just all decided to explode at the same time. But I have some fantastic colleagues I've worked with that I'm bringing in. So it's fun. And it's great to be a growing business and be able to employ people and be part of the making a difference in the economy. So, yeah, when I said yes to everything, I thought, oh, this is moving, you know, we're fine. And now it's exploding. So I am getting a bit challenged on time management.
Yeah, not at all, but it all sounds great. Julie, who do you know personally who's doing really remarkable work?
You know, I'm really loving what Digital Chalk is doing right now. I'm watching them build out this fantastic platform, and Russ Steinhauser and Troy Tully, two big guys in the tech industry out there, they're doing some amazing work. And you know, I'm watching them technologically build out stuff. I'm watching them really work with companies and change, and their business model is fantastic. So. And they're really down-to-earth people who just want to go out there and create a fantastic business and make a difference. So I really love what they're doing because they're breaking through some major technology gaps out there. And, you know, you can always check them out. Troy and Russ are awesome. And, you know, that they're to be able to just call up a CEO of a company that's exploding and doing really well, and they actually will get on the phone with you and talk, does not happen often. So, you know, that's, I think, something that really impressed me, that, you know, these guys are exploding out there and they're never too big to actually have a phone conversation and talk about what else they can do. So their technology is really impressing me right now.
It sounds great. Julie, can you tell listeners how they can learn more about you?
Yeah, you can visit our websites, JD Consulting. It's www.jdconsultingsolutions.com. Or SynergyLearningInstitute.org. You know, if you just Google Dr. Julie Ducharme, you'll get it as well. And, you know, like I said, my kids' entertainment business is local San Diego. The Synergy Learning Institute is an online school, so it's open to anyone, local or internationally. And, of course, our consulting business as well is local or international. So you can find us there. And, of course, you know, we have lots and lots of consultants and people who are available. I always give a free consulting session to people who call. So, you know, I always tell people you're welcome to call, get a free consulting session from me, and I'll do my best in that hour time frame to send you in a good direction. So, and then of course we've got some new publications out, which you can find on Amazon.com if you just look at my name, Dr. Julie Ducharme. We've got some a Refractive Thinker book out, a new Career Advancement for Women book, because I do focus a lot on women in leadership. And I've got two other books that will hopefully be coming out soon. One with Karen Walker, who was not only my college roommate, but she she's a retired Marine, fantastic, brilliant PhD. And we're writing on women in leadership and business, and kind of a tips book on how to give women an edge up on what they're doing.
It all sounds great. Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been speaker, consultant, and author Julie Ducharme. Thanks again, Julie, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com. And join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.